Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. How do you make Shakespeare accessible to an audience that's so far removed geographically and culturally from 16th and 17th century England? Shakespeare's themes may be universal, but the settings are unrelatable. Shakespeare has, as a result, been adapted in film, like in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Patrick Verona, I see we're making our visits a weekly ritual.
Only so we can have these moments together. Should I hit the lights?
Oh, very clever, kangaroo boy.
In musicals like West Side Story.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
And in music like in Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream. What about settings on the border? The Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva is engaging with the works of the Bard to reflect the realities of the U.S.-Mexico borderlands. This multi-institutional research initiative involves scholars, educators, artists, and activists. Today, we're talking with the co-founders of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. Dr. Catherine Romero-Santos is Assistant Professor of English and Co-Director of the Humanities Collective at Trinity University in San Antonio, and Drs. Adriana Santos and Catherine Gillen are Associate Professors of English at Texas A&M San Antonio. They joined us on Fronteras to talk about the genesis of the BSC, the Borderland Shakespeare Colectiva. And because we have two Catherines, you'll hear me refer to Catherine Romero-Santos of Trinity as Katie and Dr. Catherine Gillen of A&M San Antonio as Kate. Kate Gillen says the idea grew out of a 2018 conference that focused on the intersections of Latinx studies and Shakespeare.
So the three of us are really interested in exploring some of the really generative work that we learned about through the conference. And we started learning more about plays and adaptations and poetry and other texts that were really reinterpreting Shakespeare through Borderlands lenses. So we thought that some of the really great work we were seeing deserved to be collected and anthologized and circulated so that people could read it and teach it and perform it.
Okay, Shakespeare was not my favorite. I knew right off from reading Shakespeare, I don't get it. I don't think I like it. I'll watch the movie. So, and I'm sure this is the case with a lot of students at many grade levels. And so, and I'll ask this of each of you, and Kate, I'll ask you first, what was your introduction to Shakespeare? And did you welcome it? Or did you also have that resistance like I did?
I think when I was introduced to Shakespeare as a student in, say, high school, I was just kind of not that interested. I also had the experience, though, I didn't understand the text in the ways that people sort of seem to want me to understand it. Like, for example, like Macbeth. Is it really just a story about ambition? Or is there more, like, what's going on with Lady Macbeth? And like, why is she talking about, like, killing a baby she's nursing? Like, what's happening here? And so I feel like I didn't really, like, feel like I was interpreting it, like, the right way. And so one of the things I really love about some of these adaptations is that they pick up on some of these themes and issues that are not really what the kind of white humanist tradition has bequeathed unto us, and sort of, I think, are really opening up some, like, fresh ways of understanding the plays, but also ways that actually do engage students and that students might be interested in, but aren't always, like, they might be afraid to ask.
So, Adriana, what was your introduction to Shakespeare?
Well, I was a theater kid, and so I had some I had some knowledge of Shakespeare. But really, in 1994, I think, when the Baz Luhrmann movie came out, there was a lot of hype around Romeo and Juliet. And so there was a production of Romeo and Juliet at my high school in which I got to play Lady Capulet. And so I became really familiar with that particular play. And I really just kind of loved the drama of it all because I was able to be in this play with friends and teachers. I think it made the Shakespeare more accessible for me, being able to play the role. And so since then, I had not really delved into Shakespeare too much. You know, after that introductory course in college, college, I veered off and did Mexican-American studies for my graduate work. So this was a real return to Shakespeare for me. Having not studied it, being able to bring Mexican-American studies and Shakespeare together has been really fun for me, actually.
Well, Katie, what was your introduction to Shakespeare?
So I think my introduction was similar to Kate's. I was introduced in high school, but only as a text, not as a performance, maybe watching the movies here and there. And like a good English major, I thought I had to take a Shakespeare class in college. And I really lucked out because I had an amazing feminist professor of Shakespeare who unlocked the texts for me and I think gave me permission to read the texts from a contemporary standpoint or to not leave myself behind when reading the texts. So I look back on that and I think about how the seeds for this kind of work were planted when I was an undergraduate, and that may be a really unique experience that I had where I was given that kind of permission to speak back to Shakespeare. So I worked for my honors thesis on an edition of The Taming of the Shrew, and we didn't hold back. We got to take that text to task and to think about how to resist some of the misogyny that is latent, really, in that play, and latent throughout Shakespeare's corpus. So I think that we see some of that reading practice emerging in our classrooms as we introduce students to these texts alongside Shakespeare's text. It creates this resistant and generative relationship to him.
Shakespeare is still, centuries later, being adapted in so many ways. You know, I'm thinking even West Side Story is probably the most famous adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. So pop culture really does have a big hold on Shakespeare, and you guys are giving it a twist with this Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva by really making it appealing to students who might just look at this, you know, centuries-old white English guy writing in a form of prose that isn't very accessible to them. But you are doing just exactly the opposite of that. And I'll go ahead and start with you, Katie.
So I was sharing with Kate and Adriana an anecdote from my teaching this semester that I think really illustrates why this is transformative for our students, particularly our Mexican-American students. My students are giving presentations on these plays. I'm teaching the plays from the anthology, and one student gave a presentation on the corrido. And we see these Borderlands playwrights taking Shakespeare's chorus or other figures who kind of mediate between the audience and the characters in the play and using the form of the corrido instead. And what she said was really moving. She said, "I never thought I'd be talking about the corrido, which is a form I grew up listening to, in a classroom, let alone in a Shakespeare classroom." So I love this example because it brings students to the text in this new way in which they get to bring their cultures, their histories to Shakespeare. And what they learn from that is that they see new things in Shakespeare as a result when that is activated. So he's not this static thing that they have to bring to them. They can bring themselves to him, too.
Catherine Vomero Santos of San Antonio's Trinity University is the co-founder of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. We're also talking to the other co-founders of the BSC, Adriana Santos and Catherine Gillen, both of Texas A&M University, San Antonio. When we come back, the Bard's works are reimagined from a Borderlands perspective in a new anthology.
It is as much a project about Mexican-American theater as it is a project about Shakespeare.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva is curating the works of Shakespeare to make them relevant to the U.S.-Mexico borderlands. This collaboration between San Antonio's Trinity University and Texas A&M University San Antonio also involves artists, activists, and educators. A&M San Antonio received a $500,000 grant from the Mellon Foundation. The grant is A&M San Antonio's first Mellon Foundation grant and the largest humanities grant received by the institution to date. The grant is in support of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. We're talking today about the BSC with its co-founders, Catherine Vomero Santos, Assistant Professor of English at Trinity University in San Antonio, and Catherine Gillen and Adriana Santos, Associate Professors of English at A&M San Antonio. The BSC has gathered 12 previously unpublished plays and published them in an anthology, The Bard in the Borderlands, an anthology of Shakespeare appropriations in La Frontera. It's a 3-volume anthology. Adriana Santos says the first volume, published in March, contains appropriations of Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet. And a note to listeners, in this interview, I'm referring to Catherine Gillen as Kate and Catherine Vomero Santos as Katie.
I think that there's some really amazing variety in these plays. They're set in different time periods. One that I think is really significant for students is Ofelio, which turns the tragic figure of Ophelia into a Latino who is a college student and has been sexually assaulted by his professor. And so when I taught it, I had several students who felt like they were empowered to tell their own stories of assault. And I think that that's really important for them to have spaces to talk about these things that are very real and happening for our students and for many people.
And so, Kate, there is obviously quite an opus of material out there that are adaptations of Shakespeare. How was it that you came to select the pieces that are featured in this anthology, in this 3-volume anthology?
So we were really interested in plays that really were situated in the borderlands, and especially were engaged with borderlands issues, including immigration, language, politics, land rights, indigenous sovereignty. And so many of the plays that we ended up including in the anthology are plays that take influence from the Teatro Campesino, which was the farm workers' theater started by Luis Valdez, actually on the picket lines of the Delano grape strike during the farm workers' movement. And so these plays are really invested in this kind of theater that calls attention to political issues, that's really asking people to like think about what's going around them and to get involved. And so one of the plays, The Tragic Corrido of Romeo and Lupe, actually is set in the Rio Grande Valley, in a farm working community, for example, and there are protesters who perform kind of like actos that are calling attention to some of the injustices in the fields that are happening to the characters in a way that kind of speaks and harkens back to the Teatro Campesino, where people were actually like performing skits, you know, on like trucks and in union halls that were calling attention to farm working conditions. So I think there were lots of adaptations that we could have chosen, but we're really interested in what we see as a particular tradition that is really part of a Mexican-American and indigenous borderlands theater tradition that was engaging with Shakespeare specifically.
So, Katie, who's the audience for this anthology? Is it just for, you know, a reader who might happen to find the book online, or are you maybe targeting educators?
I think we envision several audiences for this anthology. We wanted to make these texts accessible first and foremost, and the press that's publishing it is the Arizona Center for Medieval and Renaissance Studies, and their press is open access, so we felt compelled by that model, which makes the text freely available online to anyone who wants to read it. It's also available for print-on-demand purchase. So we think that we have an audience of fellow scholars. We've written scholarly introductions to these plays. We imagine audiences among high school teachers who teach Shakespeare and want to teach Shakespeare in a way that is culturally sustaining, particularly in Mexican-American communities and indigenous communities. And we imagine that there would be an audience among general readers, people who love Shakespeare, people who are skeptical of Shakespeare, and people who are generally curious about the history of Shakespeare adaptation and the history of Mexican-American theater, because those are the two histories that we see this project bringing together. It is as much a project about Mexican-American theater as it is a project about Shakespeare.
So the Borderland Shakespeare Colectiva, this is sort of a collaboration between A&M San Antonio and Trinity University. And Adriana, I'm curious, are there other universities, other maybe even public schools you may know about that are offering sort of this unique take on Shakespeare, specifically with a focus on, you know, Latinidad?
I would say that there are definitely global Shakespeare movements out there. There are classes that are looking at race in Shakespeare, at gender in Shakespeare. But when it comes to Shakespeare, like on the border, when it comes to the genealogies of Chicana OX or Mexican American Studies and Shakespeare, I think that this is pretty new in terms of bringing it together. So the performance, the adaptations, the appropriations have been happening over the last several decades, but this will be the first time that they're put together in an anthology and made accessible for the wider community.
And so, Kate, there was a pretty significant grant from the Mellon Foundation that is going to benefit this project. Can you tell us a little bit about that grant and how it's going to boost the Borderland Shakespeare Collectiva?
Sure. We're very excited about this Mellon grant, which provides us the opportunity to really bring Borderland Shakespeare to the wider community. As Adriana was saying, the grant is multifaceted. It will fund the completion of volumes 2 and 3 of the anthology. It will also help to fund a conference that we will be hosting here in San Antonio next March, which we're very excited about, which will really kind of think about the way Shakespeare is fitting into a broader like Borderlands culture, and will also pay more attention to Borderlands cultural production as well. We're also planning to create pedagogical materials to help teachers both at the college and high school levels incorporate Borderland Shakespeare plays into their curriculum, and we'll be working on a database as well that will help to sort of house materials related to Borderland Shakespeare, as well as materials from productions and things like that. Another goal that the grant will help to fund is to create a pipeline of scholars in Mexican American and Indigenous studies, as well as in Shakespeare studies, who may be interested in pursuing topics related to Borderland Shakespeare, but also more broadly about how Borderlands communities are kind of speaking back to, incorporating, adapting some of these kind of canonical works of the white Western tradition. So there's a lot going on with the grant. We're very excited about it.
I'm going to ask this of each of you, and I'm curious as to what maybe your favorite Shakespeare adaptation, whether it's in the anthology or in any other mode. And Kate, I'll start with you.
I think my favorite in this anthology is Edith Villarreal's The Language of Flowers, which is a play that sets Romeo and Juliet within a Mexican-American community in Los Angeles. And there the conflict is between more kind of settled, upwardly mobile Mexican-Americans and more recent immigrants. The Romeo in that character is an immigrant, an undocumented immigrant from Michoacan, who is ultimately killed when trying to like cross back across the border into the United States at the end of the play. And that play is really drawing on indigenous Mexica frameworks. It's set during Dia de los Muertos. And at the end of the play, not to give it away, but Romeo and Juliet, so they still die, but they enter the Mexica afterlife of the 13 heavens. And so those kind of indigenous frameworks of, you know, the Mexica, sometimes called the Aztecs, when they enter the 13 heavens, they're really able to be kind of united in death and enter this indigenous afterlife. So that's one of my favorite plays.
Adriana?
Well, if you ask me on different days, I'll have different answers. But today, my answer is O Romeo, which is an appropriation by Olga Sanchez Salvate. The adaptation is kind of like an amalgamation of several of Shakespeare's plays. But in this one, it's particularly set around Dia de los Muertos. And Hamlet interacts with his son, Hamnet. And he's also on the brink of writing what he believes will be his most influential play, which is about like Mexica warrior love. And it's very similar to like a Romeo and Juliet story, but it's set like in the borderlands. And it's really funny. It's multilingual. It incorporates not just English and Spanish, but several other languages. Lots of Shakespeare's characters, villains, come back and want to, you know, retell their story and make the case for why they're not villainous. And it's just a really fun way to introduce students to lots of different Shakespeare plays and many different Shakespearean references.
What about you, Katie?
So my favorite play is actually going to be in Volume 2. It's a play called Invierno by José Cruz González, who was actually the first director of The Language of Flowers. So some of these histories kind of come together in the anthology. And this is an adaptation of The Winter's Tale. And it was set and staged in the central coast of California. And when González was commissioned to adapt The Winter's Tale, he wanted to create a play that was deeply rooted in place. And so he was thinking about the indigenous histories and the colonial histories of the Central Californian coast. And he collaborated with members of the Santa Ynez Band of Chumash Indians to incorporate their language into this adaptation of The Winter's Tale. And what I find so moving about that is that that language had only just recently been revitalized through a collaboration between the tribe and a scholar who had transcribed these recordings that were stored away for many, many years. And it's fitting for The Winter's Tale because that's a play about finding what has been lost or taken away. So to see this indigenous language be incorporated into a Shakespearean play in the place where it is staged is so beautiful and is thinking and asking us to think about what repair might look like for the future.
Dr. Catherine Vomero-Santos is one of the co-founders of the Borderlands Shakespeare Colectiva. She's an assistant professor of English and co-director of the Humanities Collection at Trinity University in San Antonio. We're also talking to the other co-founders of the BSC, Dr. Adriana Santos and Dr. Catherine Gillen, both associate professors of English at Texas A&M University, San Antonio. Gillen, Santos, and Vomero-Santos are the co-editors of The Bard in the Borderland, an anthology of Shakespeare appropriations in La Frontera. The Arizona Center for Medieval and Renaissance Studies Press has made the anthology open access. You can find the link to it at tpr.org. Copies are also available for purchase online. Thanks for joining us for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.